Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M Network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper.
Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Yes, hi everybody, lovely to have your company. Saturday afternoon, just watching some footy at beautiful University of Wollongong Jubilee Oval. New South Wales Cup playing out before us as we speak. 15 minutes to go in the first half. Illawarra 12 lead North Sydney. The Bears zip as we speak. Ryan Girdler, James Hooper, Wendell Saylor and his moustache all with us in this. Your moustache is
going viral. Going gangbusters.
Mate, yeah, almost viral. It's kind of international fame now. What's happened?
Mate, it's going good. I was...
A little bit of salt in it.
Yeah, after Thursday. Well, I'll tell you this. After Thursday, I was checking my tweets and that, and Kari Webb. Professional golfer.
Yes.
She's a North Queensland girl. Massive Cowboys
supporter. Was number one in the world for quite some time.
Yeah, rookie year, I think, 96. Won $1 million.
Yep.
Anyway, she's tweeted and said to me, "What's going on with the stash?"
Wow.
Yeah, and I said,
Did you tell her to focus on a game?
She could buy and sell me, so I tweeted back. The missus doesn't like it, but the more she doesn't like it, the more obviously I want to
keep it.
So her comeback was pretty good. She said, "You just give you a silky nylon pair of short rugby league shorts, and we're back in the '80s. Sorry, mate, but I'm with your wife Tara." So my wife and her sister, they grew up with the Webs in the Burdekin and Air. So
I love it.
But I like it. See, the more people that don't like it, even Brett Morris.
Yeah.
When I was on the screen before, he goes, "Oh, mate, you're looking good, Danny Glover." And apparently on Fox Sports, I think they said he's looking a bit like Denzel.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Love it. We had a best of the best for those who've just joined us. We're talking about the best players to have never won a premiership. Wendell, somebody says we missed out on a candidate.
Yeah, mate, Matty Bowen. Matty Bowen, someone said, Ruben Wiki. I think he won
one
in 94.
With Canberra,
didn't
he?
94, I'm pretty sure.
I think he did.
Blocker, Tommy Radonikis, yeah.
Tommy.
Mate, all those boys who played in that great Dragons era, Tone, where you were making lots of grand final qualifiers and all that sort of thing. We discussed Baz, but Jason Rolls, we're going to talk to Sean Timmins shortly.
Correct.
Timo never got there.
He didn't deserve to win one, Timo.
Oh, please.
Jake, I love you. He's a mate of mine. Settle down, mate.
Sean Timmins will be joining us very shortly. Right now, though, it's time for a little bit of this.
Foxy.
Well done, Wendell.
A good weather was in
the
salad.
I'm sorry, guys. I was just eating the salad.
Tell you what, Tone. One of the biggest stories of the week, hasn't it made some headlines and some television and radio, has been Spud Carroll v. the Burgess Boys.
Yes.
Is that a blow-up?
Yes, it is.
Is it?
A blow-up
or a beat-up?
Drama.
Right. Yeah. But I think it's been settled a bit now.
I think it's settled down. Look, I think Spud only ever wanted the best for the Burgess Boys, and I don't think he was trying to throw a hand grenade under the door at Redfern. He just said that he tried to provide a little bit of constructive criticism. Now,
Matty's backed him too.
Yeah, Matty's backed him. Oh, look, basically everyone's backed him, aside from the fact that obviously when Sam was asked about it, I don't think Sam was too happy about it. But look, they played as good as they've played all year.
Thomas Burgess was brilliant.
Absolutely, South's win over the Dogs on Thursday night. And look, there's also a little bit of talk around that Michael Maguire, the Bunnies coach, actually rang Spud and thanked him. Said, "Listen, I just want to say, I get where you're coming from. I appreciate the fact that you've worn the red and green, you've won a premiership, you've played for New South Wales and Australia, so I just want to say, fair play. Thank you for what you've done." So I thought that was a nice little twist, and hopefully now they can all smoke the peace pipe and get on with it. Life.
I'm a bit like you. Look, I'm friends with Spud, and I'm friends with the Burgess Boys, and I reckon, mate, because Spud's been really good. They go to his gym and stuff, and they train and that, because they're not so much... They're not, like, fat, but they're big humans. I know what he was...
I would kill to be that fat.
I know what he was saying, but I reckon there's a couple of things here. I reckon, Spud's got, a point to what he was saying, but I reckon also, mate, you just don't lose that talent in 3 years, but I reckon the game's changed a little bit, obviously, but, I think when Souths have lost guys like Dylan Walker, Ben Teo, McQueen and stuff, mate, their roles, I suppose, you know, they're still the same roles, but they have to do more work. So are they fit enough? Or, you know,
well, the reduction in the interchange is the real pivotal one as well.
But also, you know what, I reckon they lost their confidence. And you know what, whether it's on social media, whether we're all talking, we all talk about their play the balls, their frustration hands, and their hands. Yeah. That's right.
So I reckon the story today that the handling over the past few weeks has been
it's been bloody good. They must be juggling oranges. Yeah. They're going great.
But see, because I think they all look at their social media as much as you don't want to. When people come up to you, people say, it's a bit like when Dave Clemmer got the tip from old mate, he needs to get a passing game. People say, "Oh, mate, any chance you can, like, you know, catch the ball?" So,
I got a subconsciously, tip for old mate. Maybe keep that under your hat next.
Yeah, but subconsciously, I think they know, and they're trying that hard, and they're still coming up with those mistakes. Because I said, I think to someone pre-season, I said, mate, they were doing all the practice and the skill stuff, and it wasn't.
But it is interesting, isn't it? The whole that Spud Carroll thing is that when you in fact do have, because Mark Carroll claims that through Russell Crowe and that he was almost a father figure to these boys.
I'd say more a mate.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just quoting Spud now. So when you have that relationship, then when you're thrust into a media role and you think I've got to say something, when you say something,
I don't think it was like that, Tone. I think the way that it unfolded was Spud was actually at a Fox Sports retro round. Evening, and
with
he was approached by and he was approached by an AAP journo, and he was simply asked, "Oh mate, what do you think? How what do you reckon about how the bunnies are going, and what do you think of the Burgess brothers?" And so he merely gave an honest appraisal. I don't think it was meant to be negative. I don't think it was meant to be insulting.
You asked
it was
question,
purely.
What do you think of the Burgess boys? Too fat.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
he's a straight shooter, Tom. He's a straight shooter. And look at the response. They're playing great. They played arguably the best games that they've played all season.
Because
Tom in particular ran for the second most, that was his second highest rating in terms of his metres made this year.
No disrespect. But if they did it against the Storm or the Broncos or someone, mate, the Dogs, they're a shadow of what they used to be, mate.
Yeah.
They're not the Dogs of War anymore. They're like the Pups of War.
I'm going to get to the Doggies a little bit later and that type of score. But as you said, the Dogs went down to South Sydney 28-14.
Just on the Dogs, Tone.
Yep.
There is a big push behind the scenes at the Bulldogs to play a young bloke, or he's not that young, I think he's 26, called Josh Cleland, who's playing in their reserve grade side at the moment. He's a 5'8". Obviously, Josh Reynolds is now out with that calf injury, most likely or possibly for the rest of the season. This bloke scored 6 tries in the last 3 weeks. He scored 13 tries all season. He is a number 6. He's a genuine number 6. And there are plenty of people at the Bulldogs who are pushing hard behind the scenes to try and get him a crack. So we'll wait and see whether Desi decides that he wants to go down that road. Some talk that their second tier salary cap was not allowing that to happen. That's not right. They have got room. If they want to play him, they can. But it's now up to Des.
I just can't believe that Dogs team that I'm seeing there. I know there's young Zach Wolford too. Simon Wolford's young bloke. He's
there's raps on him.
Yeah, he's massive raps. I've seen him play in the 20s. He's a good player. So I know they've got Garvey there. There's obviously there's no trust in probably having him there. But they've got to bring some new blood. Oh, that's what the Dogs fans want to see, because
they've got nothing else to play for. Yeah, it's all like they can make the eight.
But having Chase Stanley at 5'8", even the other night, mate, they didn't throw a lot at him. You know, the Bunnies played some good footy, but geez, the Dogs are just so disappointing.
Yeah, right. Well, that's why there's this push on by the scenes. Just finally, Tone, tonight's game, there's plenty of big games on tonight. 1v2, the Storm v the Roosters, and then that other massive match is Penrith versus the Cowboys. Tamari Martin is out. Ben Hampton will start in the halves, and there's a young bloke to keep an eye out for. Patrick Mago will make his debut tonight. He's a bit of a tearaway back rower out of the James Fisher Harrison, Corey Harawira Naira mould.
Who are you tipping, Gertz?
Yeah, I think you having a look at those sides yesterday. They've got a lot out. I mean, obviously they lost Winterstein last week, they lost Cooper last week, and now Martin's out. But they've still got a pretty good side in the Cowboys, don't they? And look, I think there's a lot of spirit there at the moment. They've had a couple of really tough games. They might be a little broken. Penrith should be able to win this one and maintain their sort of last ditch effort to make the finals. But I don't think it's going to be easy for them. I think there's a lot of spirit in the Cowboys at the moment. And as I said, certainly replace some good players with some other good players.
12-6, Illawarra leading North Sydney in the New South Wales Cup here at Kogarah. Next, we'll go and have a look at the NRL stock market on Saturday, Triple M NRL. Triple M just rocking the footy for you. Illawarra have gone to score again. 16 points to 6, they lead. It is time for this. And I say this.
Nobody knows if a stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL stock market.
That's what I meant. Yeah. That's exactly we knew what you meant, Tony.
I love the stock market.
Sure, everyone did.
So good.
All right, let's see what we can throw at the stock market for you, financial genii, right now. Kenny Edwards is one of those players that when you watch, he can be very, very annoying. Everybody says he's a terrific bloke, but once he crosses the white stripe, suddenly he's angry pills, away he goes, he annoys. The question I have for you.
Well, gee, what's the question, Tony?
Is having, and I'm going to use the word loosely, I don't call him a real grub, but have a kind of grubbish style of player. Somebody who comes with a bit of attitude.
Don't sit on the fence, Tony. You're calling him grubs.
Don't say grubbish. Grubbish. Is that a good thing? Is that an important thing in your rugby league team?
Yes. Yeah? I think it's a must. I think over the years...
Is that a buying? Are you asking if we're buying or selling or holding?
No, I'm...
Can you hold that?
It's the usual stock market.
Are you buying, selling or holding grubbish?
Yeah. I'm buying Kenny Edwards because, as you can see, players like him, they want to play with him. He annoys the other team and stuff. So, like guys like Steve Carter, Mick Ennis... We had a bloke at the Broncos, Gerds, you'd know this, Johnny Plath.
Yep.
He used to just get into people. Peter Ryan. Mate, you got to have those players. I love playing with those sort of players because it puts the other team off a little bit. They're also good to have in your team. And Kenny Edwards, I know he might carry on like a bit on the field. And I've worked with him. He's actually a decent bloke off the field, you know.
Yeah. So buy.
I'm buying into Kenny Edwards. I'm buying those sort of players.
You're buying the grub?
Yeah, I'm buying the grubbish, Tone, yeah. 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 Right. I think... if you look back, Wendell touched on Mick Ennis, those style of players. John Hopewadi was another one.
Yeah.
Who, I can imagine, Wendell, you would enjoy it. You know, when you knew you were up, you knew you were going to be in for a big afternoon when you're coming up against Hopper.
Oh, I was looking forward to Hopper, yeah. Like, it was good to go against Hopper. He was one of the tougher wingers that I played against. Obviously, with what he'd sort of done, and sort of his football sort of didn't get talked about that much. But, yeah, Hopper was certainly one of those players.
All right, so you're
Terry Hill's another one.
So they bring that attitude that the other guys don't have to do it.
James Maloney's a good example of another current day bloke.
Who, Greg Bird was a bit like
loves
that
a bit of nibble, loves a bit of
verbal. Nate Miles.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you,
Kurt? Yeah, look, I think to a certain degree, yeah, they're important to your team. I think Kenny personally goes over the top a little bit too much, and I'm not a fan of the way that he carries on the field. But I certainly do see the value in having similar players like that, but probably not to that extent. As long as they get it right in the big moments,
and I'm not sure, to the edge, not over.
I'm not sure Kenny's got that right yet, and going into the finals, I think he needs to be really careful to the point that he doesn't overstep the mark in a big game, and it comes back to cost his side. He did it last night. You know, they scored a try, Parramatta, and they sort of got him back into the game. It was early on. And he ran past, I think it was Barnett, and pushed him in the back of the head 5 metres away from where the... And it starts a melee in the middle of the field, you know, and some people see value in that. I just think that's out of line, and I don't know what benefit it was to anyone, but I think there's certain players that can do it in a way that really upset the opposition. I think Maloney does that well. I think Ennis did that really well.
Yep.
I don't think Kenny really upsets the opposition in the right way to put him off their game. I think he's actually quite dangerous to...
His own team,
because he's very ill-disciplined.
Well, I think he played a game a couple weeks ago.
So I'm selling.
Where was it? In the wet? Mate, he was in the wet, and he chased, I think, against the Bulldogs, and he drove Hopewadi back in, and he played smart. I know it was last week before, but he played smart. He got the balance right, you know? It wasn't any crap from him, and he played with that aggression and that.
All right, the grub is in. What about the referees? The fines for coaches who have a crack at referees, there's been a spate of that, obviously. Paul McGregor, not just... To preface this, where are we at with that? Because he, of course, had put issued the breach notice. He has then responded, and I guess is waiting if the $10,000 fine stands. We also have Paul Green, who was issued a breach notice after what he had to say last week. If you can just quickly clear up before James Hooper, you can tell me whether that $10,000 fine, are you buying that? You're selling? Are you holding it? Should it be bigger? Should it be less? Should coaches be allowed to say whatever they like?
Someone came out during the week, I think, and said that perhaps it should be up to $50,000.
Yep.
I want them drug tested.
Some people got more money.
Who was that? I don't know.
I'm buying, Tone. I think you have to, the match officials play an extremely important role in terms of the game, and I know they're never going to get every decision right, and I understand that they're a point of immense frustration at times, but they're doing a hard job and they're doing their best at it, and I'm buying.
You're buying the fine, the $10,000 fine, Gertz?
I think 10's about about fair and reasonable tone. You know, I think the coaches always come in and try and restrain from speaking about the officials when they can. Sometimes they're fed lines by the media and they need to respond to those, and they kind of cross the line a little. And some have got an agenda where they think finals are coming up, my team's getting a sort of the rough end of the stick, and we need to change things around and put, you know, some doubt in the referees and officials' minds. So, look, I think if you're willing to do that, and it's a tactic, 10Ks, a fair response from the NRL, but I don't think it needs to be any more or any less. I think they've got it about right.
10K is the right fine.
That's ashtray money for you, Wendell.
Oh, please. Mate, some clubs can't afford it. Dragons can't afford it.
What do you mean?
Some coaches can't afford it, like the 10K. The Dragons can't afford it, but it's got to be paid. And I think it's detrimental to the game. I know we've got to... It's hard to ref. If you keep bagging the refs, everyone else jumps on board and stuff. We don't need to do it to our game, you know?
No, well, some people, of course, saying the referee should have to, you know, be accountable, stand up when the Ricky Stewart might have said it, have a press conference, which I think is absolute nonsense.
We're always talking in the game about doing things better, but some things I just think we've got right, and there's things that we're never going to change, and that's the fact that the referees are going to have good games, they're going to have bad games like players, they're going to make coaches and fans cranky. I mean, last night I sat there and listened to the Parramatta fans go crazy as Perenara, and that came from the field, the fact that they just got beaten by almost 20 points by the side coming last in the competition while their side's going for top four. It wasn't a referee. They might have, I mean, sure, you know, Ken Sear, you could have had a baked dinner by the time sort of he got tackled and passed the football and set up a try.
It was 2018 when he got rid of it.
But the thing was, I mean, that I don't think it had a massive impact on the result. Parramatta were off their game. They got beaten by a better side last night, and we can all look at the referees, or we can just look at the side and go, yeah, the boys weren't good today. And I think we need to take that into consideration, you know, time again as well.
There you go, $10,000. It is right. It is buy. On the NRL stock market, Sean Timmins, one of the greats of the St. George Illawarra Dragons, he will join us next on Saturday Triple M NRL.
For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Saturday Triple M NRL with Peter Stern, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper.
Oh, what a tackle! Beautiful tackle!
Triple M rocks the footy.
And we're spending a Saturday afternoon at beautiful University of Wollongong Jubilee Oval, and what a great pleasure it is to welcome into the commentary box a man who graced this field so beautifully, as he did in Wollongong for the Dragons, as he did for New South Wales, kicking an amazing field goal to win a State of Origin game, and of course talking about the great Sean Timmins. Timo, g'day.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me up here. It's good to... Good to catch up. Good to see the big man, Big Dell, working for a change.
Actually, speaking of working, we're talking about best players ever to win a grand final. Remember 99 when you guys lost to Melbourne, yous were there. Like, does that really haunt you?
Yeah, thanks for that. great. Yeah, especially it was the only grand final I played in, so I had to lose one. But, yeah, obviously everyone... I'd swap all my rep jerseys to win a grand final. But to lose that, especially the way we did in... the penalty try, so it's pretty disappointing. They're hard to get, do you? You probably don't know, you won a few, but grand finals are hard to come across.
They're hard when you've got a salary cap to get into.
Yeah.
The Broncos, we took a pay cut back then.
Hey, have you seen that? Obviously, I don't know if you watched the game back, Timo, but we do a lot of work with Billy Harrigan, and he still swears that was the right call. Have you watched it? What do you think of the decision?
I haven't watched the game, but I have seen it. It was probably was the right call, but there was another try earlier on where there was a forward pass. I think Ben Rorty scored. Like, it went forward, so there was a few calls, but then with that goal, I think it was, that levelled it up, and it was right on the sideline. They get to kick it from in front, so, yeah.
But not just that, but you guys had a pretty fair team back then. Like, you just kept falling short. It's just one of those things where it's so hard to get there, but to actually win it, it's pretty special.
Yeah, well, it was our first year, the first merge year. So we started off pretty slow. We lost the first four, and then we sort of come good. And we had, as you said, had a pretty good side. We had the best out of Illawarra and the best out of St. George. So to get that far, it still haunts me every day that I never got to win one and actually being in one, and we were in the lead. But yeah.
Just to continue.
I appreciate you bringing it up.
Yeah, no, just to continue the haunting for you, Timo. We played on the back page the other day some of the all time worst goal kick attempts.
Oh, that's right.
And Timo,
this wasn't supposed to be a carve up.
No. I just forgotten about it until I saw his smiling face. And I remembered it might have even been against North Sydney for Illawarra, was it?
North Sydney Oval?
Yeah, North Sydney Oval.
It's hard there, though. The post, I mean, the round ground.
Yeah, I still blame
it. You're in front.
And they. at North Sydney, they bring in sawdust to kick it off the sand. So they used to girds and they used to kick it off the sand, but they brought in sawdust, so that sort of went a bit flat. And I remember right behind the post is where the coaches stand up in the thing. I remember Andrew Farrer and that being up there. And I just remember looking at him going, I've got to kick this. So I thought I would kick it easy.
I did too.
And then I sprayed it. It torpedoed off me left foot. One touch you went up and one went down.
One touch was about 108 years old. Yeah.
Was that the Grey Ghost? You know the Grey Ghost?
Yeah. Mate, I had a shock. But I remember going, I was only probably 20... Not even 20, I was probably only 19. But remember big Darren Fritz, he put me in tears after the game, he gave me a spray, so...
Well, it didn't cost you the game or anything, did it? It wasn't an important kick?
Yeah, it cost us a semi-final. The boys still blame me. That day, but that we had three grades and they were all draws.
Really?
We had three draws, I don't think it's ever happened again.
Hey, Tim, mate, look, I know you've been doing some good stuff being back at the Dragons, but you're doing a lot in the grassroots stuff too, with the NRL1 community. But also, a lot of these young Dragons blokes, you've had them at the Steelers, you and Shane Millard, SG Ball last year made the grand final, lost to Penrith.
Yeah, well, the game before, the 20s last year, we had a lot of them guys, including Tristan and Zach Lomax, nearly all that side we've had a fair bit to do with. So I've been enjoying coaching the young blokes coming through, and now we're starting to see some of them filter through, like to play first grade, like Blake Laurie, Jai Field.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Tristan and Zach Lomax and these type of guys probably in the next couple of years will play. So that's the bit I've been enjoying, having a bit of a part of their pathway and then watching them progress into first grade. So we've got some good talent coming through the next 5 years of Dragons, which is quite exciting.
Do you reckon it's a different sort of confidence these young blokes going through because they come through at 13, 14, the HBU unit and stuff?
Yeah, they're all pretty cocky, which is, but I remember when I played, I wouldn't say a word, but first grade training or whatever, but yeah, some of them are quite cocky, and I think that's just the way they are these days, so good on them, but yeah, they're not shy on confidence, some of them.
Timo, huge game today. It's been a huge game the past couple of weeks, obviously, hasn't it? The Dragons got through, they got out of the block so quickly, and then they were in the top of the eight, and as we know, they've kind of gone backwards recently. Now, they're in ninth spot now. Some people giving up on them, not me, obviously.
Hang on, come clean. You abandoned them last week.
Yes, you did.
You got off. You said you're a Knights supporter now.
Discussion for another time. It's a discussion for another time. But today, it's obviously crucial for them. What's the feeling like?
Well, it's a must win. Obviously, last week, they had the game won. To lose it in the last 5 minutes, I think they're pretty disappointed. The week before that, I think it was Newcastle, which is a game they probably should have won too. So now they're looking at these games going... Yeah, what if? But this one today, it's a must. If there to be any chance or any hope of the finals, they need to win today and probably win well because confidence was probably a little bit lower, I suppose, after last week. But as you said, it's a must win here. If they don't win today, probably don't deserve to be in the finals if they can't beat Gold Coast after Broncos put 50 on them last week. So I'm sure, I know Mary and the coaching staff are very disappointed. I'm sure the players are hurting too. So they get a chance here at home today to try and change that and still give them a bit of hope.
What went wrong at the SCG, Timo, in those last 10 minutes?
Yeah, I don't know. You think when you're up like that, they've got a fair bit to play for, the Dragons, and South threw it around a little bit, but I don't know whether it was just a lack of concentration, lack of energy, but to realise what they've got to play for, yeah, you thought they might have been able to hold on to that game, but to South's credit, they found a way to score tries and win the game.
They had a pretty ordinary season last year, Timo, and it looks like from afar when you're sort of watching or calling the games, that as soon as things start going against them, they sort of get into the old habits of last year. They start going a little bit lateral. They go away from the things that made them so successful sort of early on in the season. Do you think it's a confidence issue for them at the moment that they're still carrying some of the scars from last season?
Yeah, probably a little bit. And as you said, I think that's why they probably went so good this year. They changed their game plan around a little bit. They simplified it. The big forwards, Russell and Vaughan, early on were just jamming up the middle and they were playing off the back of it. And they'd obviously done well. They were leading the comp there. But yeah, I think when they do seem to struggle, they still play a little bit sideways, and that's when they just it doesn't look good and they can't come up with too many plays. So I think if they just go back to playing the way they were early on, just nice and through the middle, their forwards just roll forward, and Gaz Widdop, when he was playing on the back of that fullback, he was probably the form player in the comp. So Yeah, hopefully they just simplify their game today and roll forward and, play off the back of that a bit.
We're talking to Dragons legend Sean Timmins. I know you're in Wollongong. Wendell's in Wollongong. Do you get any quality time to see him kind of in his element down there?
Yeah, I do a little bit. Especially if you just follow him on social media. There's plenty down there. And there's a little rumour down there. I know he plays beach touch footy a fair bit. He gets down there a couple of days a week. I'd love to, but some of us got to work, so I can't really get There's rumours. I've heard off a good source that plays touch rhythm that they all play touch and it's like a must they all go for a swim after it.
Of course.
And they reckon Dell just plays the game, plays a touch, talks up, then after the game takes all his gear off, gets his Dragon Speedos on, takes selfies, and then never even goes for a swim. They reckon you don't go in.
I'll confirm what I do. All the boys get in there, they all go for a swim. Tim, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but when Matisse was in Lifesavers about 4 years ago, I went out too far and nearly drowned. So I get the Speedos on. I go in just up to the Speedos, take a few selfies, love the gong, and then I go out and I'm straight up the beach and then I get out. So that's right.
Is there any coconut oil?
No, reef oil, mate.
Sean Timmins, great to have some time with you to have a chat. Thanks so much for dropping by.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, mate. Those Dragons today. There he is. Great Sean Timmins joining us right here at the University of Wollongong Jubilee Oval. This is Saturday Triple M NRL for Brighton's Lawyers. One, two, three,
four. Never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good. Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere.
Hallelujah.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Ryan Girdler, James Hooper, Tony Squires and Wendell Saylor with you on this Saturday afternoon. We've just learned that we chatted to Sean Timmins, Wendell Saylor, the swimming ticket. If you were just never a swimmer as a kid, you didn't jump in the water, what happened?
I grew up, Serena Beach, coastal town, big on stingers there. There's a lot of crocodiles there now. Mate, at swimming carnivals at school, mate, I love getting the shirt off and down the Speedos and all that.
Yeah.
But, when you have to swim in that, like the races, I just wanted to cheer and just hang around the girls, and then I'd go in for the little token swim just to get a little bit wet. I had the big fro too, like
the wading race.
I had a great fro.
So you just used to parade in the mounting yard,
yes.
But then you never actually got in the barriers.
No, 100%, 100%. That was me just talking to everyone. But even it was funny. I think I told you this time, but at the Wallabies, they had the worst swimming group. There was me, George Gregan, Lottie Dakiri, Johnny Tuaki, George Smith. In the worst swimming group, and I was the best of the bad bunch. But George Gregan had the best technique out of all of us.
Really?
The technician, George Gregan.
So, swimming you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, the South Sydney Rabbitohs and the Dogs are looking at that Taipau scoreboard that Thursday night game, 28-14. The Rabbitohs backing up their win over the Dragons last week. And for the Dogs, it was just another disappointing evening in the office. I looked at James Graham's eyes at the beginning of that game and just I thought, they're going to have a real crack here because he was obviously hurting from the week before. He was run over for a try, and that never happens.
Nah.
That never happens.
Nah.
And we spoke during the week, James Hooper, about attitude and about defence being that, but about some of the reasons that may be a little bit difficult for some of the Bulldogs boys at the moment with the idea that they've been shopped around.
It's got to be a negative environment, Tone. It can't be conducive to playing your best football, the fact that essentially the entire club has known all season, especially after the signatures of Aaron Woods and Kieran Foran, that some blokes were going to be chopped and be chopped prior to the end of their contracts. So, look, the Bulldogs management and the coach Des Hasler are the ones who've decided to back end these contracts. So they have to accept responsibility for that. And for whatever reason, it really does look as though... they just lack energy at the moment, the Dogs.
I see a team out there with no real leaders. I know James Graham's been leader for a while, Clemmer. It's like they're going through the motions. It's like Mad Monday should have just been gone. Like, I was stupid enough to think that we might just see something from the Dogs. I should have known when Chase Stanley was at 5'8". I just thought South after last week, there might be a little bit of a...
They
played a good style of football, the Bunnies, through the middle. But even like Cassiano, they're just not playing for one another. And then I see Branko Lee, and I've watched him for a couple of years now, coming through the 20s at the Raiders there. Very talented. But defensively, he's just not working well with Montoya there. And I just, they just, there's no trust in the team. There's no energy. The Bunnies just, you know, smashed them through the middle. The Burgess boys were back to their best, the big boys. But, you know, Adam Reynolds controlled it well. But I'm just so disappointed in the Dogs, because I've always found the Dogs to be a hard team to play, and even when they haven't gone well, you know the Dogs of war will stand up at some stage. I just can't believe what I'm seeing there.
Yeah, there seems to be a sense of fun gone out of the equation for them, hasn't there?
Yeah, well, when you're in that sort of form, doesn't you know, you don't really enjoy turning up on weekends, and you can see that they've been given a bit of a license, almost 20 offloads. So yeah, you know, Des is trying to change the way that they play, as Wendell said, you know, there's just a real lack of confidence. But I kind of expected that sort of performance from the Dogs, because that's kind of what they've been putting together for the last half a dozen weeks or so. What surprised me the last couple of weeks is the form of the Rabbitohs. Yep. Been really impressive.
Good, hey?
Yeah, like, I just really like the style in which they're playing. Their set pieces look really sharp. The combination's out on that left side at the moment. I know with Sutton and especially Alex Johnston. Yep. I always thought Alex was a winger.
Yep.
He's shown me in the last probably month of footy that he can play fullback, that he's got a really nice set of hands and a soft pass, and he can count numbers, and he's got those sort of fundamentals of what it takes to be a fullback in this day and age down pat. And he was super impressive again. Obviously, we know that he's got the speed. The combination, I think, with Reynolds and Walker, I think that's where they need to be. They're the halves for the Bunnies.
Yep.
Next year, you've got to think some of the players they've got coming in. Inglis will come back and Gagai, and they'll strengthen up their resources out wide. They're probably going to have to put, you know, GI maybe. Is he going to play in the centres next year?
So.
Does he go back to fullback?
I think you'd have to.
I think Alex is doing a good enough job. Then you've got centres like Gagai and Inglis on the back. And their forwards are starting to do a really good job. Crichton was good the other night, and the Burgess boys going well. So I think last week for me it was all about South Sydney and this little run that they're having that's really enjoyable.
You know what I really like about what the Bunnies are doing at the moment, Gerds? It's that they've recognised this season's done in terms of they can't compete in the finals, but they're giving the next generation a crack, and they've already started the rebuild for next season. They started that young bloke Cameron Murray on
Junior
Thursday
Kangaroo.
Night, and Crichton went back to the bench.
Yep.
Crichton's a classic example. He's obviously been around all year and got a taste last year, but they're giving him good game time.
He wants Tyrrell playing with a fractured foot.
Terrell Fumiano has been great for them. So I just like the fact that they're looking
young
to the
Graham.
Next. They're looking at the future.
Yep.
Another one, exactly.
Yeah, good.
Only sitting his HSC at the moment, only recently turned 18. So you can see that they've got the club, they've got a blueprint, they've got a bigger picture idea. I don't see that at the Dogs at the moment.
No.
I don't know why. Like I touched on earlier, I don't know why they don't play this Josh Cleland. Just give him a crack. Maybe Simon Wolford's young bloke, Zach, give him a crack.
Yeah.
Like, they got nothing to lose.
But I'll say this, mate, the Bunnies fans, I know they're probably not happy with where they are at the moment, but it says a lot about your team when a guy like Sam Burgess has been the option to sort of rest up, because, mate, that injury, like, obviously, with his, you know, he got done in the wrist.
He's a warrior
he
playing
is,
with it.
Yeah. But he wants to play. He wants to show these young blokes, you know, he's got a World Cup to play, but he wants to show the fans and these young blokes what it means to him. Because I'd actually asked Anthony Seibold after the game, I said, mate, why are you playing Crichton and Sam Burgess? He goes, mate, they want to play.
Yep.
That says a lot about your club.
Absolutely, and not only that, you know, the best players play hurt.
Of course they do,
So he's showing all these young blokes that sometimes you'll pick up this and that, but over the course of the year, you just got to bite down and get through it.
How does this Canterbury story play out, though, Hoops, with the shopping of players? And we talked about, you know, Graham being in, the Morris boys being perhaps others. And look, I don't know, but this is what the reports are. Are there nibbles? What's going on? Are they likely to be there next year?
Yeah, Yahtzee tone. Connect Four, I wouldn't have a clue how it's
Boggle.
Going to unfold. Yeah, Boggle.
Hungry hippo?
Guess who?
look, the issue they've got is that the players who are on the big dough are all their senior players.
Yep.
Now, by rights, they've got contracts, so they don't have to necessarily move.
Eastwood,
they are trying hard to move them. Look, I heard a story last week. I think Greg Eastwood was recently told that he might be playing reserve grade next year. He said, okay, good as gold. Thanks for that. No worries.
I'll play reserve grade. It's not his fault that the club asked to back end his contract and did it. So how does it play out, Tone? I'm really uncertain. I don't think they know.
No, because the other clubs, if they are to bite, the Bulldogs are still going to have to pay some of those wages.
Absolutely, they are.
Ended, as you said.
They're going to have to pay over the odds to allow players to go to another club, a la Robbie Farah at South season in the West Tigers.
And I wonder what's going to happen there next year, Robbie Farah. I know he's got another year there, but, mate, when Cook
was pretty impressive.
Mate, Cook's always impressive.
Yeah, he was
good.
Mate,
he plays anywhere from fullback to hooker. When he was at the Cutters years ago, I watched him come through the system there, and I just wish the Dragons wouldn't let him go.
I think I was just going to say with Cook, I mean, you know, finally, you know, the South forwards have started. Obviously, Sam Burgess had an amazing season. A little bit of momentum for Cook. I think that was the key the other night against the Bulldogs, and we can see what he's actually capable of. And I think the fact that he went over to South Sydney on the back of South Sydney's game plan, where they had a big dominant pack and Isaac Luke, and it was so key that the dummy half was quick and used to drive through on the back of momentum. He hasn't had that momentum for the best part of the two seasons that he's been there. Finally, he saw a little bit of that the other night, and he was lightning.
He was a beach sprint and a flags champion.
He was a beach sprint champion as a kid, absolutely. And when he burst onto the scene at the Bulldogs, he was just electric in that final series out of dummy half. I think that was 2014, the last time that the Bunnies and the Dogs played in a grand final, Tone.
Josh Reynolds, what's his story injury-wise? Will we see him back before his days in the blue and white jersey?
It's his calf, so they can be. Like, we've seen Lachlan Coote, we've seen Jonathan Thurston, we've seen a number of the best players in the competition sustain that injury this year. Boyd Cordner has had calf issues. And they're problematic, Tone. There's no set time frame, and they can go quite easily, is what I've been told. So, look, I hope we see Josh in the blue and white again, but I don't think there's any guarantees at this stage.
Because even when he got injured, like, he's the only shining light in that team. Like, when there's nothing doing, mate...
He has a crack.
And there's another bloke there, he doesn't know what's his best position. Sowie and I were interviewing Moses and Boyd at the end. Mate, Will Hopwani, we know what he can do. Mate, I reckon... Throw Moses, because he's played 20s fullback. Throw him at fullback, mate. Yeah, give someone else a crack. Just you got to try and change things. Yeah.
The only thing with Hopper, look, he's been having a crack all year. He's obviously having a go.
Yeah.
I don't think he scored a try all season. There's not too many fullbacks that don't score.
Still on the nudie run.
He hasn't scored a try. So he's played 15 games.
Sometimes Wendell would deliberately not score a try.
Oh, mate.
24.
I just scored twice, mate. I still love the nudie run.
24.
Wendell do it anyway. It's got 23 tries. You'd be the first bloke out the gate.
Follow me, boys. 24.
Talking about finding a reason to do a nudie run. I remember we were at a reunion. I was actually invited to one of the Steelers reunions. I think it must have been before they got involved with the Dragons and whatever. And basically... We all went back from all the clubs we were playing at, and some of the greats were there, and it was probably about 8 or 9 o'clock. We're all over at the Steelers Club. There was maybe about 40 or 50 of us on this day, and we're all retired. So none of us had scored a try that year, so we decided all of us to go over to Wollongong Showground across the road, or Steelers Stadium at the time. We all jumped the fence, and we all got naked, and we all did a... nudie run and scored a big try, about 40 of us.
Nothing unusual for you, jumping the fence, Gertz.
No. That's sensational.
Yeah.
How did you go? Did you win the nudie run in terms of your pace?
No, I didn't. I'd slowed right down by then. I was carrying a fair bit more than the other boys.
you had to bring the beers.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. I love it. You know what I wanted to ask Timo before? I wanted to ask him a bit about the Steelers and that, because, mate, when we used to play the Steelers down the Broncos, they used to do a bit of Newcastle. They used to wet the pitch. For some reason.
Like the Johns brothers used to.
Yes, yeah, Newcastle. I forgot to ask him over.
Did they hose the dressing room down as well?
100%, mate.
The roof.
And the Steelers beat the Broncos a few times down there in a quagmire.
Your technique. I wanted to ask him. Why didn't you? He's gone now.
Because he was asking me questions. Mate, you're the guest. I'll ask you questions.
Hear every second of Triple M Footy wherever you are. Remember, download the Triple M NRL app right now. And just one more look at the Tyre Power scoreboard for this game. It's 24-6, 60 minutes in. Illawarra lead North Sydney. Plenty to come. Of course, we are going to preview the main game, all thanks to Iveco Trucks. Look at the other games that are happening around. Some key ones this evening and into tomorrow. Plenty ahead. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Well, we do it for Bryden's Lawyers.
Triple M Rock Saturday Arvo Footy for Bryden's Lawyers. Protecting your future.